Yeah, it would be nice if the only problem we had was the pride of man, but unfortunately we've got Jews, which makes it 100 million times worse. All right, folks, welcome to Yahweh's Covenant People. Greg is not going to be with us tonight. He's got a commitment, and so is Pastor Steve and myself this evening. And
howdy, folks.
Hello, and we're gonna take a break from the Apocalypse of Baruch. We were going to do the vision, but we'll wait for Pastor Greg because that's his baby. And so we decided for tonight we're going to talk about the coming civil war. The second
number
civil,
two.
Yeah, civil war number two. That and it's already started for those of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear. But as I have said many times on Restoration Hour, the second civil war will not be televised, nor will it be on the radio, nor will it be in the newspapers. You're just going to have to figure it out for yourself. Okay. And so we're going to give you some assistance in figuring out that there is, in fact, a civil war well underway. And I just got off the air with Doc Waterman, and I just realized that unintentionally, the Jews may have set off the second civil war on 9/11. Because that was such a brazen act of subversion against America when they brought those three buildings down into their respective footprints at faster than free fall. That's right, folks. I said faster than free fall. And there's no possibility other than that they were brought down by demolition. There simply is no other possibility. And
they misplanned, Eli. They misplanned, and they tried to squash it, and they said, oh, it's all conspiracy theory stuff. But people have the tapes, and they look at them over and over and over, and the eyewitness testimony that has come out of it.
Right.
And not only are there questions now, as there were then, they've expanded so big that mainstream media won't touch it.
Yes.
But off the mainstream media, it's not a conspiracy theory anymore.
Yeah.
They've gathered all the scientific evidence, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, not as fast as it first did.
Yes.
But it's still increasing in size, the questioning by people with super-duper credentials.
Yes.
That are questioning. These are not just wild-eyed theorists, okay, that they try to name us.
Yeah.
These are people with real
credentials.
Credentials.
Yeah. Yes.
And well, they are in trouble over that. Same thing with the Pentagon fiasco, how fake that was.
That's right. Well, fake news really was born on 9/11, at least the modern version of it. You know, we know that the Jews have been giving us fake news stories forever since, you know, for the last 6,000 years.
Well, this war that's coming isn't fake.
Yes, right, yeah. But this was an attempt to commandeer America's military to blame the attack on Saddam Hussein. Even George Bush admitted later that Iraq had nothing to do with it. Okay.
No, and it was Mossad.
That's right. It was Mossad. And the only Arabs involved were Saudis. Okay? His friends, the Saudis, right? Osama
and
bin
even
Laden.
Then, they had a passport for one of those guys laying on top of all the rubble,
right.
Open, with no dust on it.
Right? Just
and they
out
publicized
of his
that this was one of the takeover agents. And he got a call from Saudi Arabia. He says, what are you talking about? I'm alive. I'm here. I haven't been to America in 2 years.
Right? Right?
What do you mean? Caught saying that I'm in on this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, so it stunk to high heaven from the very beginning.
And all the gold bullion that went missing
right?
from a building that wasn't on fire.
Right? Yeah, right. The building number 7. Right? And virtually all of the units in building number 7 were rented by the CIA and other government agencies. So it was really easy to plant all those demolition charges in building number 7.
Well, okay. It was like Waco. All the evidence from Waco was in the basement of the building in Oklahoma City, and the basement wasn't damaged.
Mm-hmm. But it was cleared out.
The supposed truck bomb went off.
Mm-hmm.
But all that evidence disappeared.
That's right. That's right.
In from an undamaged concrete basement.
Yes. Cui bono? Who benefits? And follow the money. Those two statements are all you need to know. Cui bono and follow the money. And you'll know who's responsible. And here's my thinking on this, Pastor Steve. Because we're going to be talking about the war between the right and the left, most of which is contrived by the Jews. I think the Jews
It's smoke and mirrors,
yes,
to appear as if they're a conflict.
Right.
So you believe you actually have a choice when you vote for one of their handpicked candidates.
Right. Hillary or Trump. Right. When they're both Zionist pawns, you know, from the get-go. So what the mistake that the Jews made on 9/11 was they pissed off a lot of leftists who were basically anti-Zionist. So when they created communism, and communism was not intended to be an anti-Zionist movement. However, when they took over Palestine and brutally attacked the Palestinian people with constant terrorism and occupation, non-Jewish leftists had a lot of sympathy for the Palestinian people. So all of these non-Jewish leftists became radically anti-Zionist, which was not the intention. The plan went sour because of that.
Unintended consequences.
Exactly. So the left was already by this time very much anti-Zionist. And when they saw all the Jewish connections to 9/11, the people on the left started waking up. Hey, it's the Zionists who attacked America, not the Saudis or not Saddam Hussein. It's the Zionists behind us. So what 9/11 accomplished was a waking up process of the left wing. Okay.
The left wing is intrinsically anti-war anyway.
That's right.
They're bleeding heart liberals. Oh, kumbaya.
Right.
Kumbaya.
In this case,
war that for profit that the Jews are sponsoring goes against their grain.
That's right. So at this last Freedom Palooza, all these leftists who I've been debating, you know, politics with, they just came out and said, yeah, the Jews did it. Right? okay. All right, let's get our act together, and now let's get rid of these bastards. That's what needs to happen. These Jews need to be ejected from America. You know, we can probably start that process before the second coming, when Yahshua Messiah is going to get rid of them for good. And there will not ever be another one of them on the face of the earth or anywhere in the universe for that matter. But in the meantime, we still have this, we have to wake people up in the meantime. Okay.
What they're doing, they are building for themselves the next pogrom.
Right. That's right.
They are by their intrinsic evil building a pogrom. They are constructing it for themselves, as they have in the past by their behavior.
Right.
That DNA of their original father is inescapable.
That's right. They can't help themselves.
No, they are what they are.
Yeah, yeah. By alienating everyone else around them, and by using constant terrorist tactics, what goes around comes around. Okay. So so the Israeli state, which was built on terrorism, is going to be destroyed by violence, the very type of violence that they have created. Okay. So And so this is a good thing that the left is waking up to Zionism. The left isn't quite yet with us in understanding that the Jews and the capitalist Jews created the Bolshevik coup against Russia and designed communism from the very beginning and financed it from the very beginning.
Communism and capitalism are flip sides of the same coin.
That's right. Jewish
run by the same people.
Yes. It's a shekel. It's a half shekel that the money changers created. Okay. The left isn't quite there on that yet, but they understand that the Zionists are evil. And so the unintended consequence of creating all these left wingers, when they invaded Palestine, a lot of these left wingers became pro-Palestinian and anti-Zionist. Okay, so that's one of the unintended consequences, and it's more is on the way. Okay, because the Jews, by their constant terrorism, are making enemies left and right, and
what's that that Paul English always likes to quote? Never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake.
That's right. And they are. Amen. Okay. So this is getoffmystate.com website. The title of the article is The War Between Left and Right, composed September 11th, I guess is the anniversary of 9/11. I had no idea. Maybe that's just a coincidence. We've been talking about 9/11 all this time. 2014. By Dwayne Stovall. You've heard all the phrases before, Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal, right versus left, red versus blue. These are phrases used to describe the ideological war Americans have been embroiled in for well over a century, and it only gets worse with time. We live in a perpetual paradigm of us versus them that involves no real discourse or debate. That is absolutely correct.
Well, they thrive in a climate of division.
Yes.
Divide and conquer, divide and conquer. They keep us so busy fighting ourselves that we don't pay attention to what they're doing, except for people at EFR, right. And we tell everybody what they're doing.
Yes.
That's our job.
Right. Well, I have likened it to the Super Bowl, where you got the NFC champ and the AFC champ playing against each other. But for the owner of the NFL, it's just a profit-making venture. You know, it's just a game to them. And war, for the Jews, is nothing but a game. And the left-right divide-and-conquer tactic is one of their specialties. That's how they create wars, by creating these false divisions between what would ordinarily be reasonable Americans, reasonable human beings. Of course, they're doing this to Europe and Australia, South Africa. Boy, have they done a job on South Africa. And they're doing the same to us by creating racial tensions, right?
War is their harvest. They make money off of both sides.
That's right.
Because they finance both sides. Now, the same company won't finance the other side. They'll finance us. But they'll have a different company finance the other side, which are owned by the same people. They have done this since the Revolutionary War.
Yes, and the Civil War.
Oh, especially the Civil War.
Right.
They looted both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely looted both sides. Now look what's happening in all the cities with anarchy virtually ruling in Chicago.
Right.
It's open warfare there. And they want to take all the guns. All guns are bad. Guns are bad. No, bad people with guns are bad. Good people with guns are good.
Right, right. Yeah, it's always anti-gun rhetoric, but the only killing is being done by black thugs, black savages, killing each other, and every once in a while they stray outside of their ghettos and kill white people or Mexicans. Fortunately, the black ghettos have a kind of buffer zone of Latinos, Mexicans, and Puerto Ricans around them, so they have to.
And those are people you don't want to mess with.
No,
if you're black.
No,
they hate the blacks with a passion.
Yeah, Right. This is why the blacks rarely come into white neighborhoods, because there's this buffer zone of
they can't get through the Latino belt.
Right, right. Yeah, by the way, for the very first time in my life, I saw a black guy driving a scavenger truck. For the vast majority of these, you know, metal scavengers are trucks, you know, pickup trucks driven by Mexicans, okay, and other Latinos. They go drive down the alleys and pick up all the scrap metal that people put out, and they take it to the scrap metal yard and get paid for it, okay? For the very first time in my life, I've seen a black guy with a pickup truck. Before, it was only blacks in their shopping carts and their plastic bags collecting aluminum cans, which shows you that blacks, the vast majority of blacks, don't even have it together enough to buy a pickup truck and do some real scavenging, right? So the Mexicans have the monopoly on that trade in Chicago and probably everywhere else too. The vast majority of blacks have so little talent and so little discipline in their lives that they can't even get it together enough to buy a pickup truck.
They're only interested in two things: drugs and women.
That's
not
right.
Necessarily in that order.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes they come together.
And mixing of the two.
Come together. Right?
No, yeah, that's right. Why the term crack-o.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Into play.
Crack-o. Is that what that song was about by the Beatles? Come together. But, wow. Talk about corruption, savagery. And it reminds me, and I have to talk about it because it's so important, Washington's vision at Valley Forge. It was a three-part vision. The first part was the angel described to him that America would win the Revolutionary War and that the very next development would be the expansion of the states from coast to coast. That happened within 20 years of the Revolution, okay? And then there would be a black cloud coming from Africa that would lead to fighting amongst the American people. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
It's coming.
Yeah, that was the second one. The third one is a red cloud coming from Europe that would lead to even worse fighting than the Civil War. Okay, so that black cloud was black slaves coming from Africa and leading to the Civil War. And what do you think that red cloud symbolizes, Pastor?
Communists.
Steve? There you go. Jew communists.
Yep.
Okay. Who came in here at
and
mass.
And they are using the blacks as muscle.
That's right.
I saw that in a movie where they had fake Nazis. And they were preaching that the blacks are being used as muscle by the Jews. And it was a Jew guy playing the Nazi, of course. And it was a comedy, and they drove.
That was a comedy.
They drove off the end of a bridge, and on the way down to crash and die, the driver looked over and he says, "I love you."
Yeah.
So he was gay too.
Right.
So I mean, that was one of the Hollywood
a gay black
movies,
Jew.
But they tell on themselves
That's
through
right.
these movies.
Yes, they do.
They can't.
Oh, man, that must have been funny.
Bragging. They brag. Of what they're going to do in advance. And they show us what they're going to do in these Hollywood movies,
right.
Sometimes 10 years in advance.
And of course, their art mimics their reality, their political reality, because right here in Skokie, suburb just north of Chicago, Frank Collin and the Nazi Party organized a march in Skokie, which is like the most Jewish suburb in the world, right? But Frank Collin himself was Jewish. Frank Collin himself was Jewish. So this is how they do it. Okay? So if you don't have an enemy, you create one.
Agent provocateur.
There you go. Frank
that
Collin.
That have infiltrated the Klan and the American Nazi Party and National Socialist White People Party. And
right.
They've infiltrated everybody.
Yeah. Frank Collin.
League of the South.
Right.
All of that.
Yeah. Frank Collin changed his name to Frank Joseph, and he started selling porn. Okay, his true calling. Right? right?
Well,
so anyway, that's how the Jews do it, folks. They're chameleons. All they do is agitate, and when things get too rough for them after they're done agitating, then they split. Just like the Jews of South Africa, once they created that black government, and then they say, oh man, we can't handle this. This black government's too evil. We got to get out of South Africa.
Well, they made it unlivable even for themselves.
That's correct. That's what they're going to do all over the world. That's when it comes around.
Well, they're going to make this place unlivable.
Right, right.
And they're going to call... people have read about the Civil War, Eli.
Uh-huh.
But the reality of the devastation that it caused the young white population of this nation.
Oh man, unreal.
Has never come crashing down.
Right. No,
they killed the finest of our race.
That's right. Deliberately by staging a civil war. Yes.
They did the same thing in World War II when we fought against our German brethren.
Right. Yeah, in fact, a lot of the Southerners, the Southern generals, hated Judah P. Benjamin because very early in the Civil War, Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee had an opportunity to invade Washington, D.C., but Judah P. Benjamin was opposed to it. Why do you think he was opposed to it? Not enough white people had died yet. Yeah. Okay. The war had to be prolonged to maximize dead white people. Okay.
Yep. And they engineer us to kill each other.
That's right.
And then they sit back and laugh and make money off of it.
Well, they called Judah B. Benjamin the smiling Jew. He always had a smirk on his face, like he knew something was up. Right? The smiling Jew.
Well, he did.
Yes, he did. All right. So getting back to this article, I mean, I hope we're not scaring people. But the prophecy of the second coming is that it's going to be violent, folks. There's going to be a house cleaning like there has never been before. The Old Testament says it's going to be a time like which there has never been and never will be afterwards.
Well, the tribulation describes it. There will be total anarchy, and when the financial system breaks down,
mm-hmm.
that's their foundation.
That's right.
And when it crashes,
mm-hmm.
there will be total anarchy. They will not be able to pay their thugs.
That's right.
Everybody's scared of these. All the government will come. They have two or three groups. Only two or three groups that go around the country after one guy.
Yeah.
And they make you think they have thousands of these guys.
Right.
These shock troops. They use this local SWAT team a lot.
Right.
Why do you think they've militarized the police?
Yes, absolutely.
But when the police aren't getting a paycheck, okay, what happens when Chicago... and eventually the entire state apparatus of Illinois crashes.
Yes. Well, I mean, Chicago, getting back to Chicago, Chicago now is in three times bigger debt than Detroit was when it declared bankruptcy. Okay. So
if anybody has ever seen films of Detroit,
right?
There's nothing left, folks.
There's nothing left of it. There's this one.
It's a ghost town. The houses, right. Even new houses, are falling apart because nobody's living in them.
Right.
There's not even bums and homeless people living in them.
Yeah. Even the blacks are deserting Detroit. Right? But Detroit was a democratic welfare state. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Oh, no. Oh, please don't say that. Okay. So it's obvious this is going to collapse. I mean, it's unavoidable. Okay. And so what's the city council of Chicago doing? Well, it's creating all new kinds of taxes. They're done raiding the pension funds of the police officers and the firefighters and the school teachers. There's no money left in those accounts.
And, okay. And those people are just going to say, oh, the hell with this.
Right.
And they're just going to stay home.
And I can tell you this.
Well, the city's on fire.
Right.
So what?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. You
expect
me to risk my life?
They can all eat roasted rats when
it's
over.
There you go. There you go. And California is not far behind. Okay.
No, that's the whole damn state.
That's right.
That's going to be a huge collapse. And yeah, the great big cities down south, Los Angeles, San Diego, all those big barrios and ghettos and stuff, they are going up in flames.
Yeah, Atlanta.
They're gonna go at it tooth and nail.
Yeah, Atlanta, Houston, New Orleans, New York City, Miami, all these cities that have huge black populations.
Boston.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be civil war. It's going to be unavoidable.
Police,
absolutely.
Cleveland.
Right. Well, the thing was, in fact, New Orleans, the Hurricane Katrina was a good test case. And what happened was, really bad timing. It was 2 days before the welfare checks arrived. Okay? So none of the blacks had any money. They couldn't get out of town because the black police force rebelled against doing their job and joined the looters and were doing just as much looting. And if they showed up for work at all, they began looting just like the other blacks did. But most of them just called in sick and didn't even show up for work. So this is what happens when you have a black police force and a black mayor and et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So every one of these cities that has all these blacks are going to have the same problem as New Orleans and Detroit and now Chicago. What, over the 4th of July weekend, we had 100 shootings with 10 or more fatalities. We're setting a record of fatalities by blacks killing one another. And all they can think about is taking guns away from white people.
Washington, D.C. itself.
Yeah.
Has a lot of that. There are areas of Washington, D.C. that white people can't go.
Mayor Marion Barry, if I remember his last name correctly.
He was smoking crack.
He's a known coke addict, and he was reelected.
Yeah. Yeah, we be the party.
Yeah, right.
Party. We be the party.
The party harte party. Can it get any more insane?
Well,
this is democracy,
yeah,
folks.
It's gonna.
It's going
and
to.
And we're gonna see it.
It's going to.
And we told you about it on EFR first.
That's right. Identity has been warning the white race about this eventuality for decades.
I wonder when it breaks out, Eli, how many converts we're gonna have. How many are gonna come into the remnant den?
Yeah, well, they'll be knocking on our...
It gets so bad that the TV goes off and they run out of beer. Yeah.
Right.
Then they're going to listen.
They'll be wanting to come into our sanctuaries and wanting our food.
With boys, and
right,
they're not going to listen.
That's
but
right.
It's going to take some really hard times. What do you think the term tribulation
That's right.
means, folks?
There shall be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth.
Well, I mean, it's started now. We're in it now.
Oh, we're in
the beginning stages of it.
Yes.
Dan Johns and a lot of others across the United States are working on ARC cities where they have areas that are going to be safe areas where our people are going to band together. And I
Whites
give kudos
only.
To Dan for that.
Whites only, yes.
The boy's got his act together pretty well, and he's working with real responsible people in the community to get these things set up. So we've got some talented people on our side that are trying to make a difference.
Right. Rick Tyler's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and like at the Feast of Tabernacles this year, I'm going to do a seminar on what you need in your go pack.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to bring a whole bunch of stuff, and we're going to have an herbal seminar and just, you know, natural stuff you can find for healing if you're out, because you're not going to camp for a weekend. It's going to be a year or more.
Yeah.
And you're gonna need to be able to survive away from the city, away from your telephone, away from your refrigerator, away from your air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
No car.
From materialistic civilization, it's going to collapse. It's going to burn.
You're gonna have to go back to being old-time Israelite living in a tent.
That's right.
And that's how it's going to be for a while. It's going to be,
yeah. Prolonged Feast of Tabernacles, announced by the Feast of Trumpets, with a Day of Atonement in between. So you better be ready to atone for your sins. Whatever year that happens to be, it's going to come soon, folks. It's going to come soon.
Yeah. Maybe this year, maybe next year.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, but we can see the writing, handwriting's on the wall. How's it go?
Mene, tekel, upharsin.
Okay, which that's the numbers that were written on the wall.
You were numbered, you were weighed and found wanting.
There you go. All right, this Jew system has been weighed and found wanting, and it's going to burn, folks. It's going to burn. So come out of her, my people. So everyone listening, make plans to have a sanctuary where you can fall back to. It has to be away from any major city. You can't be in a major city. You
it'll
are going
to
burn.
Death trap.
It'll be a death trap. You must go out in the country somewhere. What is it? Flee to the mountains is what Yahshua said. Flee to the mountains. Be prepared to flee to the mountains or some other sanctuary. For me, it's Central Illinois. And for others, it's Arkansas and Missouri, the Ozarks. And Kentucky and Tennessee are good places. But get out of Chicago. Get out of New York City. Get out of Georgia. I mean...
Get out of Memphis.
Memphis. Oh, man. Memphis is...
Little Rock.
Oh, yeah. Memphis and Little Rock are just nothing but huge black ghettos. That's all they are. Okay. So, there's no hope for these cities. None whatsoever. So,
they will kill each other over a pack of crackers.
That's right. Because they're going to be starving to death. That's why. Okay.
Swamp Fox puts go Ozarks.
Yeah, right. Go Ozarks. Right.
Yeah, I love our chat, chat brothers.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot to open
love
the
chat room, man.
Yeah, I was doing a show earlier and I had a really long day, so I forgot to open up the chat room. So, yeah, thanks for monitoring that. All right. So,
that's why I got that second computer. I'm watching.
Very good.
And comments. We get so many good comments out of the chat. Yeah. We have to put them on the air.
Okay. So the strategy that we're experiencing right now for the Civil War, it was pro-slavery, anti-slavery. Now it's left versus right. The libtards have been so radicalized, and the right, what they perceive as the right, is simply the white patriarchy, which they also refer to as fascism. Okay, so anybody.
Well, I've seen the march with the armed anti-fascists.
Okay,
they are being supplied with modern armament, military grade stuff, not junk.
Libtards with guns.
The Antifa. They did a march in Arizona, I think.
Really?
And it's an open car. They had AKs and ARs.
My goodness.
With masks on their faces, and there wasn't 8 or 10 of them. There were hundreds of them.
Wow. You remember seeing?
Marching down the sidewalk in full black, masked AKs and everything with magazines, full double magazines in them, you know, where you tape them together and you have one end.
Right.
And you can switch and put the other one in if you run out of ammo.
Wow. Right.
They were ready, and the police did nothing. Mm-hmm. As the police in Dearborn, Michigan, when the Muslims stoned the Christians, they did nothing but harass the Christians.
Right.
And they were white cops.
Right. Right.
So don't and what happens when they don't get paid?
Ha! Then it totally collapses.
Then they're looting.
That's right.
If they run out of food, they're going to go. And if they see looters looting a food store, they're going to shoot the looters and take their stuff.
Right.
That's what they're going to do.
Or like in Chicago,
when you hire thugs and you put badges on them,
Chicago,
you're going to get well-armed thugs.
Yes, all right. Chicago is a magnet for people from Wisconsin coming here to find work. You know, basically, they're farm boys and farm girls who are either bored with farm life or bored with Wisconsin, and they come to Chicago. Okay, I run into them every day, and so what's going to happen with these people is that they're going to see all this violence and they're going to go right back to the farm if they can get there. Okay, mommy, daddy, you won't believe what's happening in Chicago and Milwaukee and Madison and Rockford. You won't believe what's happening. Oh, yeah, we saw it on the news. Right.
But meanwhile, they're sitting on a front porch with their shotguns.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right.
Well, so, old Hank Jr. was a prophet in his own time.
Oh, man, yeah.
I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive.
There you go, right? Ain't no cure for the summertime blues. That was actually a country tune.
I can
tune.
Spin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
There you go. There you go. So what's all this? Who's causing all this division? It's this. Who's creating this us versus them paradigm? Of course, we in Identity know exactly who it is.
But well, let's who has created both sides of every issue,
yeah,
and then loots the losers and sells all the armament to the winner. Same people, different day.
Right. But this is what I would perceive as a alt-right site, you know, which, you know, they never addressed the Jewish question. But nevertheless, they get the economics and the conspiracy angle pretty right, okay? It's because we no longer have the limited federal system of government created by the Constitution. The system in which all expansive power resides in the states, but instead we now have an unlimited national system in which all the power rests in a national government, thanks to the Federal Reserve Bank. I added that. Okay. And this was FDR, Jew puppet. Woodrow Wilson, another Jew puppet. Who was the guy before Eisenhower?
FDR was a Jew.
Right, yeah. Well, he was considered part Jew. I think he was only like eighth Jew. But nevertheless, he was his...
Rosenfeld?
Right, yeah, he's part Jewish. It was only the, as far as
part Jewish.
Part Jewish, that's bad enough. And then Truman, Jew.
Solomon Schifrin.
Eisenhower?
That's what his birth name was, not Truman. It was Solomon Schifrin.
Right. Eisenhower, another full-blooded Jew?
Yeah, he was Swedish Jew.
And they assassinated a Catholic that followed that full-blooded Jew? Right?
Yeah, so, because he was going to get rid of the Federal Reserve, just like
right.
Lincoln.
That's right. That's right.
He refused to sign it, so they killed Lincoln.
That's right. So... it's not just about the Constitution, folks. It's not just about national...
It's about money!
Yeah, right. It's about money. So the author continues here. Today, we all live in the United States of America. In the country of, insert your state here, the Union is no more. By the way, we're having an interesting development. There's a secession movement going on. Several states, primarily southern states like Texas... although it's not confined to southern states, who want to secede from the Union because of all the corruption. They can't stand the corruption.
I've got some comments here, Eli.
Okay.
We've got Seven of Nuns said Roosevelt was 25% Jewish.
Okay.
And Brother A. Bear says Eli needs to do some shows on Restoration Hour on all the presidents, please.
Right, yeah, and the ones assassinated by the Jews? That's about a third of them that have been assassinated by Jews, right? Yeah, okay. I may be taking a break from the Civil War, uncivil war shows. That'd be a good topic. And so it's really obvious we're starting to see the signs that preceded the first Civil War are happening now, preceding the second Civil War. The signs are coming to be pretty obvious.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Right,
it repeats
itself. Yeah. One of the interesting parallels between Trump and Lincoln was that the opposite group, the opposite party, refused to accept the election results. Okay? So since Lincoln was elected and the South refused to accept his election, now the libtards refuse to accept the election of Donald Trump. Okay? They simply will not have. You know, now the conservatives, we lived with Barack Obama for 8 years, even though most of us knew he was not a citizen. There wasn't any demonstrations by the right wing saying, we refuse to accept the election results. We're gonna demonstrate and blow up cars and burn buildings down and smash windows. No. But the left, the libtards, upon the election of Donald Trump, went on such a frenzy. Okay? So there's a lot of similarities now, telling us there's going to be a second civil war. And we all know it's already started. But these are some of the signs.
Okay. Well, the main focus of the second civil war will be in the cities.
Yes.
And that will be bad enough. But when they run out of stuff to loot and burn and destroy in the cities, they're going to start coming out in the country. And they're going to find a very different mindset waiting for them out there.
That's right. It's called populism, right wing.
It's going to be called people sitting on the front porches with shotguns.
White people with shotguns. That's what it's going to be. Okay.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Well,
the union.
It's going to have to come to that.
It's interesting
when they come into the neighborhoods outside the cities.
Yeah.
And they go out into the country and they start climbing over farmers' gates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of those are electric fences.
Well, they're just going to find, and I don't care, even in the North, your country people are different than your city people.
That's right.
It's going to be country
been.
Against city.
That's right.
And the city people are not going to be acclimated to survival out in the country.
No.
Because those old boys out in the country know every rock and tree and deer trail.
And the ATMs won't work.
Just a farmer with a 30-30 can hold off 100 people.
I just thought
and kill most of them.
Right. I just thought that the ATMs, whatever ATMs there are, thugs are going to smash them open and take all the money out of them.
And what good is it going to do them?
Yeah,
no, especially
right.
They have hard trade items.
Right.
Like toilet paper. People will kill for toilet paper later because their wives are driving them insane. Harold, I want the toilet paper.
Yeah, right. That's so sexist of you to say that. But the fundamentals, the basics, toilet paper, cigarettes, those are basics for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Chewing gum. Some people can't live without chewing gum. Not to mention the hard drugs and marijuana that people have become dependent on.
Vitamin tablets.
Aspirin.
Soap.
Ibuprofen.
Soap.
Soap.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough, folks. Can you? Well, it reminds me, in Vietnam, we had one operation where we were out in the jungle for 2 weeks straight, and it rained practically every single day. And so we were, we were soaking wet for 2 weeks. There's no possibility of taking a shower, no possibility of cleaning up. Talk about misery. Yeah, that movie called Misery.
Jungle rot on your. If you can't take care of your feet, if your feet go, your whole body goes.
Oh yeah, I mean if your feet
you
are peeling.
Boots. You need lots of extra socks.
Yes.
Foot powder to keep fungal infections down.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just. I'm going to do a whole seminar at Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to type up a thing, and I'm probably going to post it.
Yeah.
On the Assembly of Christian Israelites.org website.
Yeah.
And on my website, I'll do a post survival tips. Staying. And I'll give a list and how to carry this stuff.
Right.
You can't carry it all on your back. And if you're going to be gone for a couple of years, mm-hmm. you're gonna need a way to transport this stuff. Oh, and if you have weaker people with you, you don't want to just abandon them.
Right.
You're going to have to take care of them.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a challenge to stay dry.
Be well prepared. Yeah. Get prepared now.
It's going to be a challenge to stay dry and clean.
Yep.
That's going to be a real challenge. Not to mention
warm or cool. You can't just wear fatigues in 90 degree weather.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
You'll die of heat stroke.
Yeah. Yeah, which I nearly did a couple of times because it got like 110 degrees.
Insect repellent. Got to get ticks. You're going to have to worry about ticks and Lyme disease.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a killer. You're going to have to find out the natural cures for these diseases.
I had several tick bites on my legs and arms that took 7 years to heal.
Yeah, they rot the flesh like a rattlesnake bite rots flesh.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be unprepared. You don't want to be unprepared.
I'm trying to teach this stuff.
That's right. I really find it interesting that the author says here, the union is no more. Hey, it's like a second civil war. The union is no more. Yeah. I don't know
America
if he meant
that. America is gone.
That's
We've
right.
got the United States government of this continent incorporated.
Yes.
It's
now,
the
what
United States.
What he says here is absolutely right. I'm going to read these next two sentences. The states have lost all sovereignty and independence, making the Declaration of Independence meaningless. And by giving ultimate control to a national Jewish government, the Constitution and Bill of Rights in each state have been rendered meaningless as well. Can't dispute that. That's absolutely right on the money. Okay.
They federalized
everything.
Everything.
Everything. There is no real discourse. We no longer debate ideas. It's already come to blows, Pastor Steve.
It's just feeling. Nothing but feeling.
It's the libtards, the leftists, versus the conservatives, versus the constitutionalists. That's the line. Okay,
What's on the surface.
On the surface, yes.
But in reality, it's the Jew against
manipulating
the
both sides.
Jacob Israel.
Right.
It's all designed, the Nakash seed line against the Adamic seed line.
Yeah.
That's the civil war that's coming in. It's not just going to be here.
Right.
It's going to be in Europe, too. It's boiling to a head. It may kick off in Europe before it kicks off here.
It may. Absolutely. It may. But this is another parallel with the Civil War. There was a point where the debate over slavery, and of course other issues too, states' rights and tariffs, but mainly it was slavery, where the debate no longer was gentlemanly. Okay? Both sides started trading blows. Congress critters.
Well, are we not in slavery again today,
brother? Absolutely.
And it's the white folks that are into slavery.
I'm glad you were reading my mind. We are in slavery yet again.
Yep. And it's all of us now.
All of us now. Right, right. So he says, the days of debating are long since past. Today we are in a war over ultimate power. We are in a war over who can get the most people into positions of power in the national government in order to force every citizen in all 50 states to live according to their demands. Now, this is only the left that is promoting this national government, this paternalistic state or maternalistic state, whichever way you want it. But, of course, you and I know it's a Jewish state. And the left is promoting this Jewish state. And the rest of the people just want to be left alone.
Well, I'm sorry. They're out of luck. They're not going to be left alone.
No. They're going to have to face this. Ayn Rand, a a Jewess, put it very well. You can avoid politics, but you can't avoid the consequences of politics. Right?
That's absolutely correct.
Right? So you can't be neutral. There's no fence sitting.
Nope.
Nope. I mean, even in the Civil War, the neutral states like Kentucky and West Virginia and even Missouri.
Well, now, wait a minute. It wasn't so neutral here.
Well, no. I mean, there were, they didn't side with the South, put it that way. Okay.
Sure did down here.
Right. But it was nip and tuck. And,
down in Somerset, where I'm from, uh-huh. we had a big battlefield down there, and they have Civil War reenactments.
Right. Oh,
and
sure.
They've got Confederate days here in Kentucky where everybody flies a Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm. They got Yankee days too?
No.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
Kentucky is a lot more Southern than you might think.
Oh, yeah. Even Southern Illinois. There's a huge difference between Southern Illinois and Northern Illinois.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. So, but this is, we're seeing this division, this divide and conquer tactic coming again. There's no doubt about it. And so this article is very perceptive.
It's in full process right now.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. Yeah. The libtards, you cannot reason with a libtard.
Nope.
They
Nobody
simply,
home.
No. They are militant. You try to talk to them, they'll punch you in the face or they'll shoot you. Okay.
Well, bring it on.
Yeah. There's no reasoning with these people. So it's over. No. The day of reason is over. It's gone. Okay? So if anybody thinks that there's going to be a peaceful resolution to this, you're dreaming. You're dreaming. Okay?
You're kidding yourself.
Yes. The reversal of power between the states and the federal is exactly why the federal constitution no longer limits this national government in any serious way. And the nationalization of power is exactly why we are locked in a perpetual ideological war. Because the left constantly has been promoting bigger and bigger and bigger government, the welfare state, communism. And the populists and the constitutional conservatives have been, wanting personal rights, personal sovereignty. Well, those two are always at war with one another. And whenever the federalists and the communists gain the upper hand, they will never give it up. They will never give it up.
They're not going to give up power. You're going to have to take power from them by physical force.
By physical.
You're an agent provocateur, and you're a radical, and you're this, and you're that. What I am, I'm right.
Yeah, right.
That's what I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Go through your history. Those who don't study history are condemned to repeat it. And that's exactly what's coming down the pike now.
That's right.
They've removed the history. We can no longer even study it. The kids don't know what the truth is.
Yeah.
And they're going to be caught in the middle of this. And our youngsters are going to pay the price again.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, what difference does it make if an old duffer like me goes down?
Yeah.
I've lived my life. What about the kids?
Yeah. Well, you can look at all of the previously great white civilizations, Greece, Rome, Spain, Portugal, France, Italy. Every single one of these nations, it was obvious that once they allowed race mixing and homosexuality, they were doomed.
That's it.
That's exactly what has happened to all the white nations in the world today. Okay? So, fortunately, thank you, Yahweh. The prophecies tell us that this is the last time. This is the last time that all this is going to happen. But it must happen, because the earth must be cleansed of all these evil people.
Well,
white, black, you name it.
This is a testing process, as Yahweh has done with his people Israel over and over and over and over, to see who's going to stand.
That's right. with him.
Who's gonna be a sheep of his pasture, and who's gonna be a goat?
Yes.
In the camp of the enemy. And it's going to divide on those lines.
Yes.
And the people that lose faith and turn themselves in, oh, I just want a hot meal and a shower.
Right.
Yeah, go on over. Yeah. That's the shower building over there. And then the door clangs shut.
Yes.
And the gas comes out of the shower heads.
Right. The corollary to Ayn Rand's statement is, we would like the Jews to leave us alone, but they just won't leave us alone. That's the bottom line. They will not leave us alone. They will always try to lord it over us. They will always try to kill us. They will always try to breed us out with race mixing. They will always exploit our women and our liberal men, too. There are liberal white men who are just as, you know, deceivable as our women. So it's they will never leave us alone. It's just the bottom line.
We have a comment. Seven of None puts, those of us who study history will still be victims of what's to come. This is true in part, but we will be much better prepared to make a change in the coming outcome of it.
Yes.
That's the difference between then and now. We will know what's coming, and we will be able to fight.
Yes. And that's why, you know, our people are moving to rural areas. Doc Waterman, you know, been preaching the, you know, the Ozarks. Come to the Ozarks, because that's, you know, you got to get away from the big cities. There really aren't any big cities in the Ozarks. St. Louis, Missouri is on the, you know, Mississippi River. And west of St. Louis, there's hardly any big cities. It's all small towns and medium-sized cities.
And well, same way with Illinois, Chicago.
Right. So,
but you go south of Chicago so far, it's all little farm towns.
That's right. It's all farm towns. It's all white.
That's all white farm towns. It's an agricultural state.
Because Jews and blacks don't farm.
Children are in Chicago.
Right. Jews and blacks don't farm, so you won't see them out in the country. it's just that simple, right? Now, but now any small city that opens up a welfare office, you will see blacks starting to congregate in such a town, and you will see Jewish law firms opening up their doors, right? So these medium-sized cities like Rockford, Illinois, get out of Rockford, right? At least the black ghettos on the west side of Rockford, the white communities on the east side, which is very beautiful and prosperous. You know, all these towns, but you better get out of Rockford proper. You don't want to be in Rockford.
No, you don't want to be actually inside the city limits of any of these major cities.
You don't want to be in Springfield.
We're getting close to being down to the end of the hour here, Eli.
Yeah.
It's 9:58 and 48 seconds. Yeah.
Springfield, Illinois and Springfield, Missouri are virtual carbon copies of one another. They're medium-sized cities built by whites, but they have their black ghettos where the welfare offices are. So you've got to get out of these towns, folks. All right. I think we've alerted our people as best as we can with tonight's show. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time, folks.
Shalom aleichem, my brothers and sisters.